Don't miss out on the latest news and events in your community. Visit starlocalmedia.com today. Sign up for our newsletter and stay informed on all the latest stories affecting your neighborhood. And if you're a local business owner, let us help you reach your target audience with our effective advertising solutions. Visit starlocalmedia.com and take the first step towards staying connected to your community.
Welcome to another episode of the Star Local Media High School Sports Podcast. My name is Matt Welch, being joined by Brian Murphy and Devin Hassan. Gentlemen, it is Monday afternoon, and guess what, guys? It is time for the high school girls basketball playoffs. The brackets have been set. We know what the matchups are going to be. So let's preview it. Let's talk about the teams that we have postseason bound from our coverage area, and as what to expect for these next few weeks as playoff season is here in high school basketball. We're going to talk some 6A for the first half of the podcast. Then we'll dip on over to 5A and talk a little 4A as well. Over in 6A, Devin, basically this is going to be you and me dominating the first half of this podcast. Between District 6-6A, 9-6A, 10-6A, and 11-6A.
I'm just going to head out now.
We talked about the bi-district matchups between 9-6A and 10-6A a little bit on Thursday's podcast, primarily focusing on that matchup between Allen and Sachse. So if y'all want to hear a more detailed breakdown of what to expect in that game, you can check out Thursday's episode and whatnot. So I wanted to focus more so on, I guess, the other two, three matchups between those two districts. You have Plano Senior versus Rowlett is a first-round matchup there. You have Plano East and Wiley, and then McKinney and Lakeview Centennial. Plano Senior is one of those teams that, you look just throughout the Region 2 draw, and one of those teams, you could see them making a run. There's at least a path there to where you could see that team playing on into the regional tournament and whatnot. They're going to have to get past Rowlett to start, though. Rowlett, the four seed out of District 10-6A. So what do you, you'll be at this game later tonight, Devin. So from Rowlett's standpoint, how should they approach this game against a Plano team that has just been surging through District 9-6A?
Take chances, but in a controlled fashion.
For sure.
If that makes sense. I mean, they're going to have to try some new wrinkles. I mean, Rowlett's a capable team.
Oh, yeah.
They finished in a tie for third. They're kind of on the unlucky end of that coin flip. Mm-hmm. But they were really the only team in 10-6A to give Sachse a legitimate scare during the district season. They played them to a 46-42 loss. But no, Sachse blew every team out by double digits during the district. A lot of those by 30, 40 points. So, Rowlett has a really intriguing trio with Nevaeh Zabala, Maddie Rodriguez, and Reagan Warren. Mm-hmm. These are all, versatile players who average double-figure points. They all pull down better than 6 rebounds a game. They're kind of the three, obviously, key leaders going forward. And they have some nice role players that have stepped up at different times, mm-hmm. Like Riley Booker, Maya DeVance, Kendall Miles, Mallory Miller. It's the big three that have been those consistent. And that's going to be, they're going to need really strong performances from all three of them. The problem with Rowlett, I guess, going forward against Plano, and again, you could break down Plano's roster much better than
can.
I'm just doing kind of a cursory look, is Rowlett doesn't have a lot of size on the inside. Mm-hmm. Even players like Reagan Ward and Nevaeh Zavala, who's 5'11", who are their leading rebounders, they're more athletic slashers in terms of, they're more likely to shoot a three-pointer than they are going to be banging down inside. They you get by their athleticism, but when it comes to just sheer size, they're going to have a hard time matching up with anybody with an interior game, and that may not bode well for tonight.
Because Plano's not a prolific shooting team. They're not just going to rain threes on you or anything. They're going to do a lot of their damage in the paint. Even without Jordan Merritt, that's still what the bread and butter of their offense is. And they're back court of Maggie Robbins and Sinead Murphy Sowers, not the biggest backcourt in the state or anything, but it's when you get to those wings and then they're post Avery Fultz that they can obviously do some pretty significant damage to teams on the inside. With Plano, as far as what to kind of expect out of them for this playoff run, just because they've been one of the more intriguing stories all year, is the fact that they were able to withstand the ACL injury to Jordan Merritt, still go on to win a district championship. They ended the playoffs ranked number six in the state, and I'm waiting for that game where, because I watched them against Allen. Allen, when Allen just, you know, just jumped on him early and just kind of held serve, and, you know, Plano would have those. And you've seen this, you know, in recent years with Plano, is that they'll have games where just the, you know, the chip shots inside, they do a good job of creating the looks, but they just have a really rough night finishing baskets inside. I'm waiting for the first time when that kind of crops up this postseason, plus how they handle that, plus free throws have been, you know, if there is a wart in this team's identity, it's, you know, outside shooting and free throws are probably, you know, where you'd point to. But the consistent thing with Plano and what they're going to hang their hat on all postseason long is defense. And that's, you know, that's the area which, I mean, yeah, you know what, some nights teams are going to have poor shooting nights, but, you know, just in terms of just playing a basketball game, you know, you control your energy level and your effort level on defense. So the fact that Plano has been, you know, has been locked in on that end of the floor pretty much from the opening tip of the season, I mean, is that does bode well. You know, they're going to, you know, with the size and length that they present, especially, you know, in that front court, it is going to pose a lot of, you know, a lot of problems for a team like Rowlett that might not have the, you know, the size to match that. And, you know, I think that, you know, if you look at the, you know, just the rest of the Region 2 6A bracket, you know, you could see a scenario where you get a Plano versus a Sachse. And the, I can't remember if those two teams have played in recent, if they played this season or if in recent memories, because it just feels like, I don't know, those have been two of the, you know, two of the more established programs in the Metroplex. I'm not sure the last time they crossed paths, actually.
Well, and, you know, for a long time, Plano's been a different region.
Yeah.
So they don't have the perspective. They either play really early in the season or, you know, it would be, have to be the state tournament.
Yeah.
Because even the year that Plano won a couple years ago, Sachse was there in San Antonio.
We almost got, that's right. We almost got it at state a couple years ago.
But they were coming out of Region 1 and Sachse was coming out of Region 2. So, yeah, you have that potential there in the third round. Mm-hmm. You know, another one of my teams is there in that same little quadrant with Horn taking on Waco Midway. Horn has another perspective meeting with Sachse in the area finals. That's they've been knocked out by Sachse the last two round, the last 2 years in that same round. Horn's got a lot of work to do to get past Waco Midway, a team that we don't get to see very often up here, so it's kind of hard to make those common, you know, opponent references. But coming out of a very solid district, they were the only team to beat Harker Heights, and Harker Heights is state ranked, has been all season long. You know, Horn is a Horn can be an exciting team. I think we've talked about them in the past. Jasmine Shavers is one of the best scorers, just pure scorers. Mm-hmm. In the state, she's averaging 19 points a game. She also leads the team in assists. She has, you know, pulls down six boards a game. She's a really, you know, Trillia Washington is a 6'1", really guard. She plays, she can get down low and do some things, but she, you know, she does a lot of her damage on the outside, but it's also an excellent rebounder. Same thing with VNC Jackson, who's really come on strong. Mm-hmm. So Horn, you kind of look at that quadrant, and yeah, Plano jumps out at you. That, certainly that first round game between Sachse and Allen, because Allen is not your typical fourth seed.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't be a complete shock if they were able to.
No.
You know, they say Sachse and Allen played earlier this year. Sachse won that game 38-28, but that was back on November 15th.
For sure. If you're still figuring out your rotation back then,
so much has changed. But, you know, for in terms of our local teams in that little quadrant, there's a lot of interesting storylines. Like I say, you can't overlook Horn. Mm-hmm. I think people might be saying, oh, that Plano Sachse, it's the two district champions. It's you know, a clash of two teams that are, you know, coming off recent state tournament appearances.
Sure.
That's going to be, but there's a lot of different ways this can go.
Mm-hmm. You look at them, just the bottom half of that region period appears to be where the strength is relative to the top half, because not even just Plano, Sachse, Horn, but you've also got Cypress Ranch, Vista Ridge, both those teams are state ranked. Whereas in the top half, you mentioned Harker Heights, you know, it's kind of their portion to lose. You know, Harker Heights, I'm curious, you know, because that would be who, if Plano East is able to get past its first round matchup against Wiley, that would be who they draw in Harker Heights. I mean, Harker Heights has had a few, you know, a few swims through the Metroplex this season. You know, they played in them a couple tournaments. You know, they had matchups with, like, Allen.
Yeah.
You know, they beat Allen, but lost to Prosper. So, I mean, but again, it's tournament season, so you're never really sure where a team is at, you know, health-wise or just how winded they might be from having played so many games in so many days. But Harker Heights does at least have a little bit of familiarity with the Metroplex. You know, Plano East is going to be one of those teams that's just fun to monitor this postseason just because of, you know, we had Coach Linson on for the, you know, our podcast interview on Thursday, and just kind of what this team represents as far as just their youth and a lot of these players getting their first taste of what the postseason brings. Now, they did have some of these underclassmen were in action last year when they played Sachse in the bi-district round. You know, players like Kayla Cooper, you know, Ada Anamekwe, Tiana Amos. It was a fairly short-lived stay for them. You know, Sachse just kind of took it to them pretty rough from the opening tip there and went on to win, like, with something, what, 24, 25 points.
Yeah.
Wasn't exactly a real full-fledged playoff experience as far as understanding the rigors of a competitive playoff game. So it's going to kind of be interesting to see how how Plano East handles. I mean, on paper, they should be the favorite over Wiley. You know, they've been just surging over the second half of district play. They went 5-1 after a 3-3 start. But yeah, I mean, it's, do you see any of those opening quarter jitters, you know, or some of the, you know, some of your, you make a couple of silly turnovers, there's a little bit of doubt start to creep in, especially for young teams like that. I think it's really important that you come out and have an impactful start to the game so as to, you know, not let the, you know, just any of that youth kind of creep in, because it is a different game in the playoffs and whatnot. So, you know, but Plano East is a team that, you know, again, and you look at, again, how they, you know, what happens if they do draw a team like Harker Heights, and you look at the rest of that region. I mean, you know, you can speak to your team like Tyler Lee, you know, which was able to, you know, get the top seed over in District 11 6A. You know, but there is at least a path there, you know, whether it's, you know, Lee or Lakeview Centennial, McKinney or somebody like that, that, you know, you, if you were able to clear the Harker Heights hurdle, that you might be able to get on a bit of a run there.
Yeah. And I think it is definitely open, wide open. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have in Lakeview, you have an athletic team with some height. So, I mean, it's a team you got to say for see sure. early, you know, Sana Baker and Aja Scott and Carly's Gates and just some really good athletes. They're going to be a really tough out, but that's interesting first round matchup.
I think that's the best matchup on paper. I think personally, between Lakeview and McKinney.
Yeah, and Tyler Lee, again, they're going to be tough. I mean, Elia Morgan, Alyssa Thorne, I mean, they've had some of these girls that have been three-year starters, and they were tough out last year. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just they play this scrappy ball, and I think they really showed something last week. They had a winner-take-all battle with Horn in Mesquite for the 11-6A championship.
Sure.
Horn jumps up on him, is up by 11 at halftime, and Tyler Lee comes back in the second half and wins that game by 14, 60-46. Mm-hmm. So even going on the road and playing in front of a packed gym, they kept their calm, they're senior laden, and you know, they turned it around and got their number one seed. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you look at teams that could possibly make a run in that side of the bracket. Tyler Lee, you know, is not going to get a lot of attention. Not at state ranked. They don't have the best overall record, but it's going to be really tough out that group.
I still remember Lee from last season being the team that I thought at least, you know, gave Allen, the outside of Sachse, you know, gave Allen the best run up into the state tournament. That was such a grinding, low scoring game. You could tell that Lee really had a comfort in playing that style of ball. And yeah, that's that's not exactly a style that most teams are accustomed to in this day and age. So yeah, that should be a nice little feather in their cap if they're able to kind of play things on their terms going forward. You mentioned them not being state ranked. Another team that isn't state ranked, as we can pivot to talk about a little 6-6A, is Irving MacArthur. And I can tell you right now, Irving MacArthur is without question one of the 25 best teams in Class 6A. Irving MacArthur is a bit of a tough team to kind of get a gauge on, because listen, they started off the year, you know, all sorts of high expectations. You know what they had on paper. You know, you're basically partnering the top, arguably the top point guard in the state, Sarah Andrews, with arguably the top post player in the state and Hannah Gusters, and just what kind of magic could those two work? They're AAU teammates, so it's not like there's any sort of lack of familiarity in learning how to play together. But then, you know, you had Gusters was not eligible to play until December 12th. You know, Andrews then has the knee injury that keeps her out through up until the first half of district play, and then they've finally been able to play together for these last 8 games. And I got to see it in person last Tuesday against Flower Mound in a game that was for the district championship. And I mean, it is just what do you do? Like, I hadn't seen Hannah Gusters play since she was a sophomore at Duncanville when they played Plano in the regional finals. And I just remember her being used in Duncanville as just kind of a traditional post player, just there to get rebounds, put back, just overwhelm folks inside. She hit 4 3-pointers against Flower Mound. What defense is there for that when a player of that size, and it's a really like fast, effortless release, it's not one that she looked like she was kind of hesitant on. She just catches it and lets it fire. And I mean, there's just, if she's going to hit shots like that, they're going to be a tough out. You know, they have not lost a game with those two in the lineup together. Against Flower Mountain, it was especially impressive. They had 50 of the team's, 60 points. And that, you know, I believe it was 28 for Gusters, 22 for Andrews. And with Andrews, you just see how effortless her shot is, just how well she reads the floor. And when she puts the ball on the floor and attacks, how she can find anybody. It's, I mean, she is an incredible, incredible point guard. And they, I mean, a Flower Mountain team that had, you know, had been right there with them every step in the way in the district, and they put them to pasture immediately. It was 22-6 after the first quarter, and they just kind of held on from there. You know, so MacArthur, again, even though they might not be one of the top 25 teams right now, that is definitely a team that could, you know, potentially get to the regional tournament. I only say that because, I mean, to get to the regional tournament in and of itself is going to be a monstrous feat in Region 1 6A. I mean, you look across there and you have, I mean, what is it, like six, seven of the state's top, like 11, 12 teams are all in Region 1, including you might get, I mean, so just looking at some of the potential second round matchups here, you might get conceivably number 1 Duncanville against number 8 Keller. You might get number 5 South Grand Prairie against Flower Mound, which, you know, what took MacArthur to overtime, their first meeting, and, you know, it's coming off a terrific district season of its own. You might get I take that back. Irving MacArthur would play number 5 South Grand Prairie. So, again, all of the high praise that is heaped on MacArthur, if they get out of the first round, they might see the state's number 5 team in the second round. That's just the kind of region that it is this year. You would have Flower Mound then potentially drawing a team like DeSoto. If both those teams advance, DeSoto is number 2 in the state, was number 1 in the nation for a while until they lost their star sophomore post semi Smith. Then you could have Denton Geyer, number 9, against Cedar Hill, number 13. I mean, it's just an absolute murderer's row. I don't know when the last time the region was this strong. So, like you ask, I think last time we talked 6-6A girls and Kendrick was here, and he was asking, you know, can any of these teams in 6-6A make a run? And, I mean, how can you say? It's just because of how loaded this team like Flower Mound, which has a really, really quality season. I mean, you know, again, they had the really rough first quarter against MacArthur, but, you know, they were able to play with them, you know, from there. You know, and they've got a really promising future too with their two posts, Madison Cox, Sarah Edmondson. But that's a team that, I mean, again, if you're able to get past their first round matchup against South Lake Carroll, then yeah, here comes DeSoto.
Well, and that's the thing. It's one thing to go out and pull an upset. That's possible on any given night.
For sure.
And I think, you know, you mentioned the Flower Mound. They have the potential to do that. But can you pull 3 upsets in a row? Because on paper, anybody who Duncanville, DeSoto go against, except maybe each other, they're going to have the talent advantage.
And speaking of that, you might get that matchup, Duncanville and DeSoto, the number 1 and number 2 teams in the state, in the third round this year.
I hate that, man. That happens with my 5A teams all the time. You know, these third, like in volleyball, you had Liberty and Lovejoy playing against each other in the third round. I wish there was a way, you know, to work around those and reseed things, but it's just the way it is.
Like, if Texas wasn't such a big state, then it might be possible.
Yeah, the logistics of doing something like that, we'd have to start the playoffs off for 2 weeks to try to get everything broken down. But it's just the way it falls, and we see it in every sport. There's been some titanic area around football playoff games in recent years that are worthy of a state championship.
So you get like Allen DeSoto in the second round?
Yeah, so it's just one of those things, but you know, it is what it is. And
but I mean, it's the playoffs. There shouldn't be any cupcake rounds outside the first round, really.
I mean, you look at a team like Duncanville, which is number 1 ranked, you know, the perceived favorite on paper to win a state championship, and their path is, I mean, it's absolutely, like, you might, from the second round on, you might be playing a team that ranks top 10 in the state. Like, that's insanity.
Well, if you come out of that region, there's no question you're the best team in the state. Really.
But what's crazy about Duncanville, and they've had some close games.
For sure.
I mean, same as DeSoto, but they have also embarrassed some really, really highly ranked teams as well. So, I mean, when they're firing out cylinders, that team is just scary.
I see. And whether it's a highly ranked team or not, though, when they post they'll always post a picture of the scoreboard on Twitter on their social media account, and then you'll see, I mean, there have been times when they beat teams like 96-4 or something silly like that.
And I'm not talking about the district patsies that you expect them, that their JV,
but just,
pretty much
just the level that they're capable of getting to. It's just their gear is so much higher than anybody else in the state right now, it feels like. But again, like, it's Region 1. Who's to say that a team like an Arlington Martin or a South Grand Prairie couldn't sneak up on them and shake things up a bit? It's wild. Yeah, Region 1 is just an absolute nightmare this season. You know, that's not even to, you know, discount teams like Keller and Denton Geyer, which are the top 2 teams from District 5-6A. That's who the bottom 2 seeds in a 6-6A Louisville and Hebron draw. Louisville gets Keller in the first round. Hebron gets Geyer. I think that on paper we're probably looking at maybe a 2-2 split between those two districts. I mean, with Geyer really, really took it to Keller in their seeding game last week. You know, for teams that were pretty evenly matched all throughout the season. Obviously a pretty massive disparity there. So I don't know whether that's something that Louisville, who draws Keller now, is able to build off of. We'll see. But yeah, it's just Region 1 is just an absolute just juggernaut right now. Let's see. That's a look at Class 6A as far as kind of what we have shaking in our coverage area there. Brian, give you a chance to chime in a bit more, talk a little bit of what's happening in your neck of the woods over in Class 5A, plus a little bit of 4A, and we'll do that after a quick break. And we are back as we continue to preview the high school girls basketball playoffs. We have talked a little bit of 6A, so let's dip on over and talk some 5A. Brian, been sitting quiet all podcast. So let's give you a chance to chime in, man.
I feel like this is where I should do the Chris Collinsworth slide, where I slide right in next to Al Michaels. You see on the XFL, I forget the color commentator. He tried it, and Chris Collinsworth, he quote tweeted and was like, no, it's not a shoulder bump. You just got to slide in. But I feel like that's what would be a very appropriate thing to do right now.
You've got a ton of Frisco schools, as you always do. Mm-hmm. Every year, it's Frisco's guaranteed four teams in the playoffs. Yep. Ain't that nice? But as far as what those teams can actually do, let's look at their respective first-round matchups, or at least wherever you want to go with this. As far as the games themselves, though, you have district champion Liberty. They draw Lovejoy to begin their playoff run, a state runner-up from last season, Liberty. Then you have Memorial, some high expectations for Memorial as they are able to carve out the number two seed, and they draw Denison. And then you have Frisco Lone Star against McKinney North, could be one of the better first-round matchups in the area. And then Frisco Centennial closes out against the top seed from District 10-5A, Wiley East. So what sticks out about this this bi-district draw, Brian?
Well, obviously the Lone Star and McKinney North matchup is the juiciest. With McKinney North, you have two players averaging a lot of points. Amaria Fields averaging almost 21 points a game. Chelsea Wooten averaging just over 17 points a game. Yep. That's one of the better duos in the area right there with what the Colony has. Not quite what Irving MacArthur has, but, that's one heck of a duo.
For sure.
And Lone Star, they're coming in here off last year making a regional final appearance. A lot of new players, a lot of new faces stepping up, new head coach. But they still stepped in and got the third seed. I think that's the best matchup on paper out of these games. One that could be surprising. You mentioned Wiley East winning that district. They're playing Centennial. Centennial is not your average four seed. They're okay. Coming off a really, really good win over Reedy in the district finale. If they lost that game, they would have to play Reedy again last Friday for a play-in game. And they beat Reedy 49-48 in a wild back-and-forth game. It was just a game of runs. Really, the perfect, contest, perfect competition and game to get you ready for a playoff game, because it felt like a playoff game. It essentially was. At least it was for Reedy, and Centennial didn't want to have to play that team twice, especially if Reedy had won that game. They have some studs, Madison Ott, Layla Patel, Lucy Rogers, their all-time three-point record holder at the school. This is a team poised, to maybe pull off an upset. I don't even know if that would be an upset, really, in my book. Some people would be surprised at four beating a one, but I could see Centennial, beating Wiley East, or at least giving them a really, really good game there. A couple games that I don't expect to be necessarily close are tomorrow night, between Liberty and Lovejoy. Liberty, out of their 18 district games, 12 of those games they gave up fewer than 30 points. Their game revolves around slowing things down. They don't have quite the star power. Yeah, they have Jazzy Owens Barnett. She's a stud, but she's only a sophomore, district MVP candidate, and they have a good collection, really, really good collection of role players around her. Very solid starting five. Obviously, the district champs of 9-5A, very good team. They could make a run. Am I saying they're going to make it to the state championship game like last year? Who knows? This is a team you definitely expect to see in that regional tournament. But that defense is top-notch. But they're coming off a close loss to end the district season against Lone Star.
Okay.
I was looking back at the schedule earlier. I believe it was only three times during the regular season, or at least in the district season, they gave up more than 40 points in a game.
Wow.
One of those was in a double overtime win over Lone Star the first time they played. So that just shows you, that scheme that they run, they really want to slow you down, suffocate you defensively. I don't think Lovejoy will bode well with that. And then Memorial and Denison, Memorial has the highest, the leading score out of the district in Jasmine Lott. She's averaging just over 20 points per game, another district MVP candidate, obviously. But this one's going to be at Denison. I'm assuming they did some sort of flip, and I guess it was like, hey, well, Denison's up there by Oklahoma. I don't want to travel. Obviously, Denison didn't want to come down to Frisco's neck of the woods, and I guess Denison won that toss, and they're going to have to travel up to Denison. Do I think it will matter? No. I don't think it will. Memorial is on a roll. Arguably the hottest team right now in 9-5A. They have arguably the best player in 9-5A, and it was only a matter of time. We all saw this coming after they made the playoffs last year, in their first ever year of existence. In the second year of the program, they're really just exploding on the scene. You got to expect them to win, and I'd be shocked if we didn't have Memorial possibly in the regional tournament as well.
If you know, if Liberty is to make it back to the state tournament, it might mean going through the current number three team in Class 5A in Red Oak, which they occupy the same half of that that Region 2 5A bracket with. Those two teams would not play until the, I guess, the regional semifinals if they are to, in fact, advance that far. But Red Oak is who is up first for West Mesquite, Devin. Yeah, I'm not entirely sure it'll be an all too smooth sailing night for the Lady Wranglers. But
well, it was a nice achievement having Poteet and West Mesquite both make the playoffs because there was so much uncertainty coming in, and it's been when one team has been up, the other's been down, and you always kind of have the one 5A team in Mesquite ISD. So I know that the powers that be over there were really happy to get to see both of them make it this year.
Okay.
Now, how long they hang around is a entirely different matter.
Yeah.
Poteet is not the same team it was a year ago when they went undefeated to the en route to the district championship, went three rounds deep until running into Red Oak.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they just they're more of a committee team now. They play Midlothian. They're the underdog in seeding, a three seed going up against Midlothian, the two. You know, they're capable. You know, it's, again, we don't see a lot of Midlothian, and kind of looking over there some of their results, they're certainly a beatable team. They're 17-10. They don't come in with a, you know, 25-3 record or anything like that. Red Oak is a little different animal in terms of just kind of looking at their roster and their stats. Brandon Davis, the sophomore.
Yeah.
I mean, she's averaging 16 points, basically 6 rebounds, 6 assists, and 4 steals per game.
That's a pretty well-rounded skill set.
Yeah, yeah. Anaya Johnson is a 6'2 senior who basically averages close to a double-double. And then they have several other players that are standouts. I mean, they've lost 6 games. 3 of them are to 6A playoff teams. Mm-hmm. Richardson, Flower Mound, McKinney, those were all close games. They had a blowout to Duncanville, like a lot of teams have, and then they lost 2 out of state. So once they've gotten back, when they've stuck to 5A and when they've stuck to the teams in this area, they've been dominant from start to finish. So, you know, West Mesquite, I guess you have a puncher's chance, but, you know, they don't have that. They're not one of those teams that has that dominant score that can just go get insanely hot and go off at 35 and then completely change the course of the game.
Yeah.
They have a lot of kids that average, you know, 5 to 8 points per game, and going up against just the explosiveness of Red Oak, and I think the Hawks, based on what they did last year, are the team to beat. But, you know, again, maybe a couple of your teams might have something to say about that.
Yeah, I mean, if there's ever a team that's accustomed to the rigors that comes with high-stakes playoff basketball, it would be really tough to overlook Liberty in any sort of high-stakes playoff matchup, especially with what Ross Reedy has been cooking up there over the last few years. Let's see, over in Region 1, over at 5A, we can talk a little bit of 8-5A and what they've got cooking. This was a district that the power of the coin flip was mighty in determining the playoff fates of two teams at the top of this district. So with the you know, the unique circumstances last Tuesday with Braswell having a chance to lock up the district title and get itself that one seed, instead the Colony upsets them on senior night, and then you have Lake Dallas, which takes care of business in its game. I believe it was against Denton, but then you have a split for the district championship, and then they decided to flip a coin versus playing a seeding game. And Lake Dallas won the flip, and look at what it has done to its potential playoff outlook, because you look at the difference between competing in the top half of that region versus competing in the bottom half. And if Braswell gets out of the first round, the outcome is most likely a matchup with number 5 ranked Mansfield Timberview. Mm-hmm. We've heard of them. They are quite good at this time of year.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas you have a team like Lake Dallas now, which is in the top half of the region, and really there you're just basically trying to avoid the matchup with Amarillo as long as possible. Which, if you're like Lake Dallas or a Little Elm for that matter, who's also in the top half, it wouldn't be until I guess the regional semifinals or whatnot when they would play. So I mean, yeah, that's the difference between going again like 2 rounds deep versus potentially 4. You know, just all with whether or not you call it heads or tails. So yeah, for a team like Lake Dallas, you know, they were able to get that top seed there. They're going to draw Azle in their first round matchup. Azle, who won the a 4-team mini tournament to decide the last playoff seed from District 7-5A. You know, Lake Dallas, this is a pretty momentous game for them. They're seeking their first playoff win since 2008. It has been a hot minute since Lake Dallas has
been. They didn't
win
a playoff game last year?
No. I think it was Saginaw Boswell that got the best of them. Yeah, I mean, they've obviously got a lot of momentum, you know, to end the regular season and whatnot. They were able to get the huge win over Braswell. They were able to erase a 15-point deficit, have a crazy second half comeback to beat the Colony, a team that's playing, I mean, you could argue playing the best basketball of anybody from that district. And yeah, the expectation is certainly not just to win that first playoff game in over 10 years, but, you know, to potentially make a bit of a run, work yourself and maybe into the regional tournament equation. And, just another team that's fun to monitor because, like, this might not be the end right here. This could be a situation that Lake Dallas finds itself in for the next couple of years with all of the underclassmen that roster has. Obviously, you know, this is going to be the last playoff go-around for their two senior anchors, JoJo Elliott and Dorian Norris. But beyond that, you know, JoJo's sister, Georgia Elliott, you know, Allie Buchanan, Bailey Broughton. I mean, they have the reigning newcomer of the year from that district, and she's been out the year with the torn ACL, Mackenzie Buss. They're going to get her back potentially, and what a game changer that would be. I mean, Lake Dallas is they're embarking on what could be, you know, one of the more successful chapters in their program's history. But yeah, it's all going to start with getting a win over Azle and living up to that billing as the top seed and not having, you know, any pratfalls creep up on you. But yeah, I mean, you look at that top half of that region and you assume that Amarillo is obviously the team to beat versus, you know, on the bottom half, you know, with what Timberview has done over the years, that a regional final between those two would seem like that's where the smart money is on. Let's see, Brian, what do you foresee, though, I guess, in Little Elm in their first round matchup? We mentioned Boswell earlier. That is who the Lady Lobos draw. Boswell was the top seed out of District 7-5A.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it's ironic that you brought up Boswell because, you know, when you finish fourth, when you're in that district with mm-hmm. Lake Dallas and Braswell and the Colony, you know, you're going to have to face a district champion, you know, in Boswell. And, you know, they have some dynamic scorers. Alyssa LaFontaine, you know, she's averaging 16 points per game. They're 6-foot senior. But it's their sophomore, their star sophomore guard, Kaya Robertson, averaging just over 20 points per game, the 5 rebounds, just over 3 steals. She scored over 30 points 6 times this season. Mm-hmm. You mentioned Azle, how they won their four-team tournament to even get in the playoffs. Well, just last week she scored 37 points against that Azle team.
Wow, that's a lot of points.
So trying to contain, you know, Kaya Robertson is going to be no easy task, mm-hmm. but even if they lose against Boswell, just the fact that Little Elm is in the playoffs, you know, after a year where they just won one district game a year ago.
For sure.
New head coach and Kristen Coffey coming in. You know, one of your better players, your leading scorer, is a freshman.
Oh, yeah. Their position will be good for a while.
Yeah, this was a huge bounce back year. They surpassed expectations. Early in the year, you know, coaches said this is a playoff team, but, you know, to actually do it mm-hmm. and achieve it, is really big. And, you know, like you said, they're poised to be good, you know, the next, you know, 2-3 years or so.
We've talked about some teams who have a very deceptive seed entering the playoffs, and I think that applies to the Colony. That is not your normal 3 seed.
No.
The Colony spent a good chunk of the season ranked in the state's top 25. I mean, they're coming off a signature win over state-ranked Denton Braswell, and best of all is that they have two players who know how to raise their game in the postseason. You know, Jules Spear, Tamia Jones, they have been the anchors of that program for the last few years. I mean, this was a team that went to the regional semifinals and gave Amarillo all they could handle. That was just a 2-point game in the end. Amarillo went on to win a state championship, and that's, I mean, you talk about players who, you know, just their individual talents alone might be able to swing the balance of a game. I mean, this is Spear and Jones, either of whom could go off for 25-30 a night. So yes, that is a 3 seed, but that's just because, again, the top end of that district this year was quite strong. That's still a team that's very capable of making a little bit of a run there. As far as where the Colony is situated, though, they draw Grapevine in the first round. If they were to win that one, they would get either Arlington Heights or Everman, and then it would most likely be either Timberview or Braswell. So, hey, yeah, if they were able to get a rematch with Braswell, that'd be a nice little juicy storyline there, given that they split the regular season series. But yes, you know, it's going to be a bit of a trickier road for the Colony to get back to the regional tournament, because that's what happens when you're a 3 seed versus a 1 seed. But nevertheless, that they've at least put themselves in a pretty good spot with their late season momentum to at least feel like they could hang around for a little bit.
Yeah, so if they do get to the third round and face one of those top teams from their own district, and if they happen to win that game and make it to the regional tournament, they're going to need a third or fourth player.
For
those
sure.
role players are really going to have to step up.
I think the number on the season when they have three players that score in double digits, because you expect Jones and Speed yeah. obviously do that, but if they can get a Ryakato or a player of that caliber to also get in double digits, I think, I don't know if they've lost a game all season when they've had three double-digit scores.
Yeah, they're going to need that X-factor.
They're either undefeated or it's just been one loss. Either way, their record when they can get three double-digit scores is very, very favorable. Let's see. So that is a look over at some Class 5A stuff. We can close out with a look then at just some of the subplots over in 4. We got a few teams that are kicking around there. Argyle, Sunnyvale, they're having pretty good seasons. Salina also in the mix. So, Devin, Sunnyvale. This is, where does, as far as competing at the 4A level at least, is this about as strong a season as they've had as they enter in the playoffs?
Since the state championship team that was so dominant a few years ago.
Okay, I wasn't sure if that was 4 or 3. That's why.
Yeah, well, it was a lower classification,
okay,
but just in
yeah.
terms of coming out, I mean, they're 34-2.
Yeah.
And obviously, as the 1 seed, they're playing a 4 seed, but they don't think Sunnyvale's going to get caught looking ahead, because as we
for
alluded
sure.
to on Thursday, they were in the same position last year as the top seed against the same opponent. In Athens, the 4 seed, and Athens was able to pull out a 57-56 just shocker.
For sure.
In the bi-district round. But so they're certainly not going to be looking past tonight, but I also think that Sunnyvale's looking long-term in this and a chance to get back to the state tournament for the first time since that state title. You just look at their team. Daniela Marcour, who's going to play at UT Dallas next year, mm-hmm. is just a lights-out scorer. She's been doing it for 3 years. Takoya Stallings is a 6-foot sophomore post that is basically a double-double machine at times. And they have a lot of really good role players who understand what they do, and one of the best head coaches in the state, Jill McDill, who's won, how many coaches do we have that have won state championships at multiple schools.
For sure.
And so they're going to be ready again. I think they'll take care of Athens. But if you look at the rest of that region, I mean, they have two losses this year. They lost to Brownsboro, who's the number 17 team in 4A, and Grapeland, who's actually a 2A team, but is ranked number 4 in that poll. Mm-hmm. So that's their only two setbacks. They could face Brownsboro in that third round, the way the brackets shape up. But overall, in that entire region, there's only 4 other teams that are ranked in the top 20. And Sunnyvale is the highest one at number 4. Well, Bullard is the only other team ranked in the top 10. And Sunnyvale already beat Bullard earlier this season. So certainly they have that potential game with Brownsboro, a team that they faced and lost to, kind of circled as a big one. But I think if you look at this region as a whole, they're the highest ranked team coming in. There's yeah. no reason for them not to feel confident that they can't make a run and get to San Antonio. And then you have the perspective, Argyle's got to work and get there themselves. But that specter of the 5-time defending, champion is a tough one, but they'll cross that bridge when they get there. But I think Sunnyvale really for the first time in a few years has to look at this bracket and this setup and the team that they have and think, hey, this is a very realistic goal, is making it back to the state tournament.
You mentioned Argyle, and obviously they continue just to be in such rarefied air. And
I've never seen a team that could just shake off huge injuries and just not skip a beat.
You would think, losing a Sydney Standifer committed to Clemson, and this is now the second straight year they haven't had her due to a torn ACL, and they continue to just chug along. Now, again, getting out of Region 1 over in 4A is going to be no small feat, because you mentioned how Sunnyvale is, at least in terms of just the polls, they would say that is the on-paper favorite, whereas for Argyle, there are 4 teams in the state's top 10 ranked in Region 1, including 3 of whom occupy the top half of that region alongside Argyle. So they're going to start their latest title defense against Godley in a game I believe takes place later today. But from there, you look elsewhere throughout that region, and then you have Glenrose, who they could potentially see in the third round. Then, obviously, them and Canyon have been kind of the two teams for a while, though, in that region. That matchup would not potentially materialize until the fourth round. But then you also have a team like, and obviously, Crum has a bit of a tough draw because that's who Glenrose opens up against. That's a team that Argyle comes in, a little bit more vulnerable, just if you look throughout their district schedule. They did split the series with Crum. Crum was able to get them, I believe, the second to last game of the season. And the first matchup went to overtime. So something about that matchup is just problematic product for Argyle for whatever reason. But, I mean, it's Argyle still has a lot of the core from last year's run, obviously led by Riley McKinney, you know, who's one of the leading scorers in the Metroplex. Brooklyn Carl, you know, is right up there with the top assist leaders in the entire area. You know, those, I mean, it's a program that's won 35 consecutive playoff games. It's, I mean, yeah, they have their last loss in the playoffs came in 2014, and that was in the state title game. I mean, the year before that, 2013, was the last time this program did not make it to state. So, I mean, just an absolute, just, God, what a run that Argyle's on. But yes, I mean, a six state championship, that would be just continuous rarefied air for that program. But getting there, though, is going to require a bit of resistance, because there is certainly some weight in Region 1 this year.
But you can't undervalue just the confidence of having been there before and that belief that these girls have, that no matter who they're playing, no matter how close the game is late in the night, that they're going to find a way to win. And that's what, you know, I had a chance to see them as well a couple of years ago in San Antonio when they won the state championship. And, you know, they just had this kind of aura of them. And I guess sometimes they have that intimidation factor when other teams play them, because they are Argyle and they have, you know, just kind of had this presence on the state scene the last few years. But, I mean, that's a huge X factor, I think, in the playoffs, is that confidence that you know you can win close games in the playoffs. And certainly no one does that better than Argyle the last 5 years.
We will see what it all means. The first round tips off tonight. And yeah, folks, the brackets start at 128 apiece, and then we'll just work from there. So yeah, that's a look at kind of what we have going on in our coverage area for the high school girls basketball playoffs. And yeah, we'll be monitoring it all throughout these next few weeks, and see if we can get any teams down to San Antonio for the state tournament. So yeah, that'll wrap up this episode of the Star Local Media High School Sports Podcast. We will be back on Thursday. We'll be back out at Kelly's Craft Tavern out in Frisco, and I believe we will have an actual audience for this one. Cannot wait. A very, very special episode of the podcast. We'll tweet out later on in the week as far as what time we're going to start the podcast. So yeah, if you have a moment in your day, want to swing by and say hi, then that's where we'll be, Kelly's Craft Tavern in Frisco. Otherwise, folks, until then, you enjoy your week, and we will talk to y'all later.
Looking to hire top talent in your community? Look no further than starlocaljobs.com. Our platform is specifically designed to connect local employers with qualified candidates in their area. With starlocaljobs.com, you can easily post job listings tailored to your specific needs and requirements. Our platform is user-friendly and offers a wide range of options to help you find the perfect candidate for your open position. Plus, our job matching algorithm ensures that your listing is shown to the most relevant job seekers in your area. But that's not all. Starlocaljobs.com also offers a variety of resources to help you throughout the hiring process. From candidate screening to interview tips, our team of experts is dedicated to helping you find the right fit for your company. So why wait? Join the thousands of satisfied employers who have found their ideal candidate through starlocaljobs.com. Post your job listing today and start building your dream team.